Tolkien told us that Feanor was the mightiest of the elves and men, and in many people's estimation, he was the most important and influential elf of all time. So, who was he? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. In the Silmarillion, Tolkien tells us that Feanor was made the mightiest in all parts of body and mind, in valour, in endurance, in beauty, in understanding, in skill, in strength and in subtlety alike of all the children of Ilúvatar. Elsewhere, he is called the greatest of the Eldar in arts and lore. He seems amazing, and yet every mention of him seems to be shrouded in caveats about how he was proud and self-willed, or dark mutterings about his evil deeds. It's fair to say that his actions caused the greatest tumult in the history of the elven people. The Noldor reached no greater height, yet sunk to no greater depths than when he was guiding his kinsfolk. So, what is the legend of Feanor? Feanor was born in Valinor, the Undying Lands, and it was clear from his very birth that he was different, special. His father was Finwë, the first king of the Noldor, one of the three foundational elves that led the rest of the nation westwards to Valinor, and his mother was Miriel, who was apparently unsurpassed in weaving and needlework. The birth of Feanor, their first and only child together, was therefore an event. The firstborn son of the king of the Noldor was always going to be special, but when he was born, we're told, he drew so much of Miriel's life energy that she lost all will to live. He literally sucked the life from her as he was born. She just grew weary of living, left her corporeal form, and went to the halls of Mandos. This was shocking to the elves and the Valar. It had never happened before, an elf in the bloom of youth, living in the most wonderful place imaginable, just choosing to die. Before she died, she named her son Feanaro, which means Spirit of Fire, Feanor. From the off, Feanor was marked as different, an all-consuming spirit that burned brighter than everyone else's. And his greatness soon started to show across many spheres of life. He became known as a law master, a skilled linguist and historian. He invented an alphabet. Tolkien, of course, being a philologist, went into great detail about how it is phonetic in style with special arrangements to fit the characteristics of the languages of Valinor. Tolkien could probably not think of a worthier pursuit than this. Then he created the Palantiri, those far-seeing crystal balls that survive right through to the time of the Lord of the Rings many thousands of years later, retaining their magical sight. The Palantiri really were far more than just crystal balls, though. I did a more detailed video on them if you're interested. The Feanorian lamps were also his invention, magic lamps that never grow dim or go out. But his greatest creation were the Silmarils. These three jewels were not only beautiful in and of their own right, but somehow captured the light of the two trees of Valinor, which blessed the entire realm. The light of the trees was not just a pretty thing, it was holy, providing wisdom, understanding, beauty and nobility. For Feanor to have captured this light is a feat beyond all the other children of Ilúvatar. The closest echo we see is in the creation of the File of Galadriel, which saved Frodo and Sam's life on several occasions. But the Silmarils were even more impressive. The light within them was so holy, if the impure touched them, it would burn their hand. Unfortunately, the Silmarils were also tainted by corruption of a sort. Those who came into contact with them lusted after them, and the desire for them burned inside them, twisting them, making them convinced that others would do anything to get them. That was one part of what gave Feanor his dark side. Another was Melkor, Morgoth, whispering lies into his ears about the true character of the Valar. Did they really want the best for the elves, or just keep them captives in Valinor? That kind of thing. And the motivations of his own brother, Fingolfin. Did he want to challenge Feanor for leadership of the Noldor? Was he plotting to steal the Silmarils? Feanor grew into jealousy and anger. That said, it's probably fair to say that this dark side to Feanor's character was apparent from early on, even before Morgoth and the Silmarils had their impacts. His upbringing was pampered and privileged. His father never made a secret of Feanor being his favourite child, even when he had more children with his second wife. The bright flame within him too often burned with passionate, hasty judgments from the start. Nothing seemed to be beyond him, and he would let nothing stand in his way. And all this culminated in paranoia, righteous anger and confrontation. His fear that Fingolfin, his half-brother, was plotting against him led to him arming his people. An army had never before been needed in Valinor, and an angry confrontation in which Fëanor drew his sword on Fingolfin. Fëanor got banned from Tirion, the city of the Noldor, for that, but it would get worse. The Valar tried to initiate a reconciliation between the two siblings, and succeeded in as far as Fingolfin reaffirmed his loyalty to Feanor's leadership, but while they were doing so, Morgoth and Ungoliant destroyed the two trees, plunging everything into darkness. The only place their light remained, that holy, enriching, nourishing, foundational light, remember, was in the Silmarils, so the Valar asked Feanor to hand them over. Perhaps with them they could rekindle the trees in some way. Fëanor refused. They were his, after all, and his masterwork. He would never be able to remake them. At which point, the news came that it didn't matter anyway. Morgoth had stolen the Silmarils, and Finwë, Fëanor's father, was dead at the hands of Morgoth. Fëanor was king of the Noldor. Fëanor gave a defiant speech, rallied the Noldor to Tirion, swore a binding oath of vengeance with his seven sons against any who might take the Silmarils, and then called on his people to follow him to Middle-earth, where he intended to reclaim the Silmarils from Morgoth. Fëanor's speech is here to the Valar rejecting their request for the Silmarils and to the Noldor entreating them to follow him to Middle-earth are among Tolkien's finest writings. All of Fëanor's pride, charisma and self-righteousness are on display. He accuses the Valar of being unable to protect their own realm from Morgoth, of wanting to keep the elves trapped in bondage, of wanting to take Fëanor's Silmarils from him. As is often the case, though Fëanor was almost certainly in the wrong here, there's a hint of truth in what he says. The Valar did want the Silmarils. They did want the elves to remain in Valinor rather than return to Middle-earth, and their track record of caring for the children of Iluvatar when they did anything other than exactly what the Valar wanted was patchy at best. Tolkien makes it clear that the Valar abandoned, his word, elves and men for long periods of time. But if we have sympathy for some of Fëanor's grievances, his actions next are less forgivable. Having persuaded his people to follow him on his grudge quest, he realised that he needed ships to get across the wide ocean between Valinor and Middle-earth. Luckily for him, his cousins the Teleri elves had ships, so he took his people there, explained to the Teleri what had happened, and asked for their ships. They said no. The ships to them were more than just boats. They were a cultural expression of the people, a water-loving, sea-going people. So no, Fëanor cannot take them on a blood-soaked revenge mission. Fëanor, of course, wasn't the kind of person to take no for an answer, so tried to take the ships by force, killing many elves in the process. He won the day, but only after Fingolfin arrived with his forces, newly sworn to follow Fëanor, but blissfully unaware that the battle they were joining was entirely Fëanor's doing. This became known as the Kinslaying, elves killing elves in the Undying Lands, something that should never have happened. It earned Fëanor, and all of the Noldor, the Doom of Mandos. This was a prophetic judgment from the Valar. Any who followed Fëanor were doomed to be exiled from Valinor, and Fëanor's mission was doomed to bring death and grief and much suffering. Basically, the whole thing was doomed. Not that that dismayed Fëanor at all, he just kept on going. He had some ships now, and used them to take himself and his closest kin across to Middle-earth, leaving Fingolfin and the rest of the Noldor on the western shore. Upon arriving in Middle-earth, Fëanor ceremonially burned those ships to signify that they would never return. Poor Fingolfin and co. didn't then have any boats, but they were sworn to follow him, so they had to make it across the treacherous icy reaches of the Helcaraxar on foot instead. Many died, but Fëanor seems not to have cared. Fëanor's arrival in Middle-earth did not go unnoticed. Morgoth sent out an army that Fëanor easily defeated, and Fëanor, single-minded as always, kept on marching straight towards Angband, Morgoth's stronghold, not waiting for Fingolfin and the bulk of the Noldor, or even seemingly having much of a plan other than just reclaim what was his. It's worth pausing a moment at this point to just take stock of the sheer confidence, arrogance, stupidity, ambition, call it what you will, of Fëanor here. Morgoth alone was immensely powerful. He was well fortified and with an army much larger than Feanor's, and yet Feanor just charged at Angband as fast as he could. Tolkien hints in the Silmarillion that had he waited a bit, joined forces with Fingolfin and come up with a proper plan of attack, he might have stood a chance, but that wasn't Feanor. And this rashness ultimately cost him his life. Feanor allowed himself to be cut off, even from his own sons in his advance, and was ambushed by a force of Balrogs, led by Gothmog, the greatest and most powerful of the Balrogs. Feanor fought ferociously, but even he couldn't prevail against those odds. By the time his sons caught up to him, he was still fighting, but mortally wounded. They carried him from the battlefield, and a while later, he died. We're told that at his passing, his fiery spirit reduced his body to ashes, a unique death for a unique character. Feanor's legacy for the Elven nation is immense and hard to unpick in full, but there is no doubt that the oath he made his son swear was one of the biggest driving forces of the First Age. Their relentless pursuit of the Silmarils in the centuries that followed gives the name to the Silmarillion, and as the Doom of Mandos foretold, it brought death, despair, and tragedy to all caught up in it. Even in his own lifetime, Feanor's actions were often hard to defend. The kinslaying, the oath he and his son swore, the burning of the boats, leading to the deaths of many of his kinfolk. And yet, his achievements were also unparalleled. And if we take a longer lens view of his legacy, things get even more layered. If he had not taken the Noldor back to Middle-earth, would the Valar have just kept on ignoring what happened there, allowing Morgoth to triumph over the elves that were there? It seems likely. But for Feanor, Finrod would not have ever set foot in Middle-earth, and without him befriending the humans he found, many more would have followed Morgoth or been destroyed by him. We certainly wouldn't have had the elf-human love of Beren and Lúthien that rescued a Silmaril, and without that, then we would not have had Eärendil. And without Eärendil, then would the Valar have sent the host of Valinor to defeat Morgoth? Again, it seems unlikely. And we would not have had Elrond and Elros and the Numenoreans, or Aragorn or Arwen. In short, everything would have been different. Without Feanor, there would be no Silmarillion, to say nothing of the later stories. Feanor is Tolkien's protagonist par excellence, his bright flame burning with such intensity that his actions echo throughout the ages of Middle-earth. Back at the beginning of time, after the Ainur had sung Arda into being, Eru Ilúvatar said that the discordant notes in that song, those introduced by Melkor to disrupt and corrupt creation and sow strife, would ultimately fail. He said this: "Thou, Melkor, shalt see that no theme may be played that hath not its uttermost source in me, nor can any alter the music in my despite. For he that attempteth this shall prove but mine instrument in the devising of things more wonderful, which he himself hath not imagined." In other words, Melkor's attempts to sow discord will only serve to bring about greater wonders and his own downfall. Melkor, Morgoth, did attempt to sow discord by turning Feanor against the Valar and his kinfolk, and he succeeded. But in the longer term, the resultant temporary return of the Noldor elves to Middle-earth brought huge blessings and led directly to Morgoth's own downfall. And Tolkien gives us a hint of a personal redemption for Feanor, too. The legends of Dagor Dagorath, the final battle at the end of the ages, have Feanor returning to the scene. We read that, "Thereafter shall earth be broken and remade, and the Silmarils shall be recovered out of air and earth and sea, for Eärendil shall descend and surrender that flame which he hath had in keeping. Then Feanor shall take the three jewels, and he will break them. And with their fire, Yavanna will rekindle the two trees, and a great light shall come forth, and the mountains of Valinor shall be levelled, so that the light shall go out over all the world." Feanor will be given the chance to make right his greatest mistakes, to relinquish his doomed hold on the Silmarils, to hand them over to the Valar, and allow the light therein to shine once more as a blessing over the whole world. In life, Feanor brought death, destruction, and doom, but his last act will bring life, love, and blessing. Redemption indeed. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.